There have been a few moments during this legislative session where it's more than drama. We really have to dig into a situation that had occurred and look at if we're doing things properly enough. What am I referring to? There's a federal investigation going on right now examining State Senator Doug McCrory's connections to a Hartford nonprofit, the Blue Hills Civic Association. And it's looking at how millions of state dollars were directed to it and related organizations. And actually, it was not technically. This is something Governor Lamont had said he wanted to do in the past. But it's one of the, I'd say, biggest reasons that there was a lot of support to pass a piece of legislation during this session, which is better oversight and transparency when it comes to just giving state dollars to nonprofits. And, you know, as we continue to follow this investigation very closely, there was an article done recently by my friend Andrew Brown, who writes for Connecticut Mirror and does an excellent job as an investigative reporter here in Connecticut. And it really dives into the documents surrounding this whole scandal. So Andrew joins us back on the show right now at the very latest. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. So talk a little bit about, and I'm going to link your article to your podcast, obviously, on voiceofct.com. But talk about what you found to be key documents that you were revealing to your to people who subscribe.
Yeah. So my colleague and I took a hard look at the Blue Hills Civic Association, which you mentioned. And that nonprofit in Hartford, which had been around for more than 60 years, found itself last year essentially out of business. They laid off all their employees, and the state froze all of the funding to that organization after $300,000 was stolen through a fraudulent wire transfer. After that, it became essentially a part of this federal investigation into State Senator Doug McCrory, which you mentioned. So we set out earlier this year to really kind of take a hard look at the Blue Hills Civic Association and what went wrong there and what preceded its collapse last April. And the documents that we went through, many of them are internal records from Blue Hills, show that essentially State Senator Doug McCrory had intervened at the nonprofit. He helped to provide that nonprofit with more than $15 million over a four-year period, but that he was essentially controlling a large portion of that money that he gave to the nonprofit. He dispensed millions of it to other groups, other entities, businesses, nonprofits, individuals, some of which had personal or professional connections to the senator. And it essentially paints a picture of a state lawmaker who became a de facto director of this nonprofit, which is not normal.
You know, so one of the things, Andrew, that I sort of hinted at in my introduction to your piece is that Governor Lamont, in the very beginning, when this scandal became, you know, at least news headlines, and we knew there was an investigation following that, the governor acknowledged that we can't allow this type of stuff to happen. And he sort of blanketed saying, you know, we're not okay with this. And this is why I have legislation like the one I proposed and so on and so forth. But interestingly enough, there's never been this sort of outward, at least from the Democratic Party and from the governor, this outward, this is not okay what Senator McCrory is being investigated for. And I understand you've got to wait for an investigation to wrap up. I understand how it all works. But, you know, after your piece came to light, it's sort of hard when you're now looking through these documents. And my understanding is the Connecticut Mirror reviewed thousands of internal records. I mean, it's not a little bit. I mean, you really did a deep dive into this. Has there been any reaction since you released this piece?
No, not really. I've had members of you know, constituents of Senator McCrory's in the north end of Hartford reach out to say that they were troubled that this is, you know, what led to Blue Hills's demise to some degree. But the political reaction, there's been little to none since we published this story. You know, some of the outlines of, you know, Senator McCrory's involvement at Blue Hills were known before we published this story, right? The state released an audit earlier this year that essentially said that he was deciding how the nonprofit spent money. Our story, however, points out in, you know, much more detail all of the ways that he controlled the finances at Blue Hills. But to this point, you know, Senator McCrory is faced really not that many consequences for this ongoing investigation and his actions at Blue Hills. I mean, he's still the chairman of the state education committee. He still holds all of his committee assignments. Senator Bob Duff, the majority leader in the Senate, and Senate President Martin Looney have essentially told the media that, you know, until Senator McCrory is actually accused or convicted of committing a crime, they see no reason to remove him from any of his positions of power.
I think that's one of the craziest things. And again, that's not coming from a political standpoint. I always think about how, and again, I understand that these are maybe more egregious crimes, if you want to call it that. But if there's an officer involved shooting, for example, and I've had this argument before, Andrew, but if there's an officer involved shooting, what do you do? You put a police officer on leave. If there's a teacher that's been accused of sexually assaulting a student, you're going to put that teacher on leave. I understand an investigation has to ensue. I get it. But you pause the person from having that role, that responsibility, if you will, until the investigation is complete. I get that the timing isn't great. I understand we're in a legislative session. I understand that. And people elected Senator McCrory to his seat. But how in the world do you allow somebody who is being investigated for misappropriating money? And I mean, in some regard, you could say kind of fraudulently, you know, saying one thing and doing another, not being fully transparent, I guess is the nicest way I can put it. How do you allow him to have such power while he's being investigated? But in any other industry, that's a no-brainer that you'd put them on leave. It doesn't make any sense.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the fact, I think the difference to some degree, if I'm making the argument for that, I think the reasoning that Senator Duff and Senator Looney are making is that unlike police officers and teachers, Senator McCrory represents an entire swath of Connecticut, right? He represents essentially three towns, the north end of Hartford, Bloomfield, and Windsor. And so I guess they view it as if you would remove him from his committee assignments and his leadership positions, you're essentially punishing his constituents and the people he represents in those districts, not just the people that voted for him, but the people who live there who voted against him last time. You know, the other thing that's at play here is that Senator McCrory is up for re-election this year, like other state lawmakers. And, you know, this investigation into him and the audit, the state audit, the continued reporting is starting to seep into his reelection campaign this session. He has drawn a Democratic primary challenger who actually tried to unseat him last go around in 2024. And she's running again against him this year. So it will be interesting to watch it over the next year as all of this plays out of whether Senator McCrory's actions at the Blue Hills Civic Association play into the election in any way.
Well, and it will be interesting to your point, Andrew, if any fellow state Democrats decide not to continue with sort of the rhetoric that we heard. And again, it's not that they're not accurate. They don't want to comment until the investigation's over. You hear that a lot. That's no problem. But to not even share that we aren't sure how the investigation is going to play out. However, if this proves to be true, this is not something we stand for. This is not something. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to align with just kind of short and sweet. We'll wait for the investigation. And especially when the investigation does wrap up, depending on which way it goes, if they still align themselves with him. Because again, to your point, they're also trying to hold on to their seats, is my understanding, I would think. Or at least they want to keep them Democratic seats. So it'll be interesting if they want to continue aligning, especially if the investigation does prove to be that he is guilty of this.
I mean, I think it should be said that for your listeners that Governor Lamont, whenever the state released its audit of the Blue Hill Civic Association, which mentioned Senator McCrory's involvement, Governor Lamont, who is up for re-election this year, immediately came out after that audit and called McCrory to quote, step back from his leadership post in the legislature. Now, I think at the same time should be noted that that is not his call, right? He's a different branch of government. He's not in charge of the Senate or the legislature. And so it was a powerful call for him to, for Senator McCrory to be essentially reprimanded to some degree for his involvement at Blue Hills, but it's just not resulted in any action at this point.
And we are chatting with Andrew Brown, investigative reporter with Connecticut Mirror, does excellent journalism. We're going to actually link his latest article to our website, voiceofct.com, if you want to read. This was from April 26th, documents looking at Senator Doug McCrory and his relationship to the Blue Hills nonprofit and just some really great work that was done. Andrew is here. I wanted to ask you, Andrew, before I let you go, there was an article, I know, in a separate newspaper, but it does relate back to kind of what you kind of dug into with Senator McCrory. This one having to do with Governor Lamont and the amount of times he had emails, which I don't know what the emails entailed, but he took business matters, if you will, off of his public email and phones and put them to his private or his personal. And it was interesting because in that article, it talks about gaps in the legislature when it comes to Freedom of Information Act and you know, if you hold public office, should you be able to do kind of private matters like that and take it offline? I wasn't sure what your thoughts were because they do link back to the Senator McCrory case, you know, and again, with his state spending and everything.
Yes. I mean, I didn't personally FOIA the governor's office. I will say just on that point that just because someone moves conversations to their personal email account or to their personal cell phone, if it is public business, individuals and the press can still file complaints to try to obtain records from people's private devices as long as they are discussing public business. So that does not shield entirely the governor or anyone else from the state's Freedom of Information Act. I will say on the point of Senator McCrory, there are, you know, we went through tens of thousands of emails over the past half a year or so related to Senator McCrory. And it's very apparent in a lot of those records that Senator McCrory was also using a private email address to correspond with other people about public money and public business. So it is not uncommon for people to do this. Now, is it correct? I would argue no. If you're serious about transparency, using your private email address or your private cell phone number to communicate about what you are doing as a public official is problematic. Again, that doesn't preclude people from getting that information eventually, but it makes it much, much harder for journalists like myself and general, you know, people in the public to request records from a public official and to really understand what they're doing in their public position.
Well, and Andrew, not for nothing, but you're in the business. Right. I mean, so you and I understand that we can FOIA request for, you know, if, again, it has anything to do with business that impacts the taxpayer, what have you, we can request that even if it was done on a private device. And again, to your point, the practice is not illegal. But again, communication on private devices still subject to open records laws. The average person, though, if they were to do a FOIA request, to your point, they may think, OK, so I got all the records. There's no proof here. We're going to move on. It's because you know, or I know, that I'm also going to say, OK, but was there any business that happened to have been done on his cell phone or on his email or what have you that we go deeper? But I don't think the general public knows that. And I think that is sort of a loophole that I don't want to speak for people, but I believe sometimes politicians feel like, well, this is going to go under the radar because who's going to ask for this?
That's correct. The average person doesn't understand their rights under the States Freedom of Information Act most of the time. The other issue here that I've been told from people at the States Freedom of Information Commission is that the document retention times, right? So if you're a public official, you're supposed to maintain public records for a certain amount of time. That's the law. Well, if it's on your private account, those laws don't apply. And so what will happen in some cases, actually in many cases, in which somebody requests public records off of somebody's private email or cell phone, is that the person will come back after conducting a search and say, I don't have anything because I deleted it.
Exactly.
And they have that right. No trail at all.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, we saw that with Marissa Gillette, with Pura.
Yes. So that, again, all of these things put public records and the trail, of what is being done in the public realm further out of view. Mm-hmm. I don't think people in Connecticut, I've worked in many other states. Connecticut officials are not the only public officials in this country who take this tactic.
Oh, God, no. I'm sure everybody does it. Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure.
Because who wants their conversations, if you think about it rationally, who wants their conversations to be easily requestable? The problem is that you take on that responsibility, and it's part of your duty when you become an elected official or a public official, meaning a state employee, et cetera. It's a difficult thing to tackle. I think that if lawmakers are serious about being transparent, doing this type of public business on a private email or private cell phone is not the best move.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Andrew Brown, so appreciate you and the work that you do. And again, his latest article, I'm going to link to his podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Thank you, friend. Always appreciate having these chats.